And let's go to our scripture reading in the book of Galatians here this morning. We're at Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. I know we covered these verses last week. There's a little bit more that needs to be said. Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse number 6. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. Again, if you don't have your Bible, we have pew Bibles for you. You can read along. I am reading out of a NASB translation Bible, and God's word says this: I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. We'll stop there and let's pray. Father, once again, we have the scripture reading. We went through this last week, and here we are covering it again. And Father, what are the more truths that you want us to learn about what Paul is actually writing here? So Father, reveal those to us here this morning. I ask that you open our minds, open our hearts to things that maybe we haven't looked at before and things that we need to understand about your word. As always, you get the praise and glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Thank you. We started an expository study of the book of Galatians, which means we are going to go through this entire book, verse by verse, section by section. And this is our fourth message in this study. And I have titled today's message, Missing Pieces. Last week, we looked at these same verses from chapter 1. We looked at verses 6 through 9. And in that message, we learned that the Apostle Paul was extremely upset over the fact that false teachers were creeping into the churches at Galatia, and they were presenting to the people a false gospel. And this gospel was one that was contrary to the one and only true gospel. And they were doing this in less than 5 years after these churches were founded. So we concluded by saying that anything other than a true gospel cannot save anyone. So let's go to our first fill in the blank we got right here. We'll just kind of reiterate and refresh our minds from what we covered last week. Point number one, a false gospel places people on a path of eternal damnation. Now, that's a pretty severe word, and we talked about that word last week. Damnation, God's curse, anathema. We talked about all those different words that are used, but they all mean the same thing, because a false gospel cannot save anybody. Today, I want to talk about another form of a false gospel, one that can equally damn a person. There is a gospel message out there today, at least it's called a gospel message, that is not exactly a false gospel per se, but it is one that is just as deadly as a false gospel. And it is a message that is becoming extremely popular in churches today. So, what is the danger? What is this gospel? The danger is this. Let's talk about that first. The danger is that this is what the people will hear from preachers that they supposedly trust. The deception in this message. Let me start that again. The deception is that this message will fill their mind with information that when their days are over and the Lord decides to take them away from this earth, it's going to send them straight to the pits of hell. Why? Because this is all they knew. This is all that they were ever taught. And this is all that they ever believed. Therefore, this is who they are. And unfortunately, this is the only thing that they will take to their grave with them. What you believe is the only thing that you will take to the grave with you, my friends. So what is this? Come on, Mike, get to the point. What is this false gospel that you're talking about? First, let me talk about what it is not. It is not where a denomination or a church or a pastor distorts the scriptures for their own justification and calls good evil and evil good, although that in itself is destructive. And it's not where a denomination or a church or a pastor speaks blatant lies denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the virgin birth or even the Trinity, although that in itself is wrong also. It is not where a denomination or a church or a pastor tells you that you are a little god, little g, and your faith ultimately has power over the sovereign will of God. Although, again, that in itself is wrong too. And lastly, it is not where a denomination or a church or a pastor is spiritually dead and preaches to a room full of spiritually dead people who are strictly there out of a Sunday obligation. Although that in itself is the result of just doing the wrong thing over a period of years and years and years and decades. So what is this that I'm talking about? Well, we have some ideas of what it is not. So let me tell you what this is. And by telling you what this is, I'm going to tell you a story. So it's story time with Pastor Mike this morning. The story goes like this. For a little over 10 years, I worked at McClung Companies in Waynesboro, Virginia, in their shipping department, packing and shipping boxes. I had 6 customers that I served, and the boxes that I packed and shipped went to the customers of my customers. And most shipments that I sent were sent via either UPS ground or FedEx ground. Occasionally I would ship internationally, and some orders would even go USPS. On occasion I would get very large orders. And when I did, it would be more cost effective, especially domestically speaking, if I would ship those large orders via freight. And freight is when you put all your merchandise on a skid and you shrink wrap it and you have a truck come in and take it to the destination. Well, one day I got a large order. It was for 900 pounds worth of material to ship. And to ship something like that, FedEx ground or UPS ground, is just really not very cost effective. It really will save the customer money if they would ship via freight. So I talked to the customer and I explained this to her. Hey, I can save you a lot of money if I ship this freight to your location. Save you big bucks. Well, she agreed and she gave me the green light. So I got the shipment ready. It was 3 different skids. The truck came in. I had everything shrink wrapped up. I loaded the truck and the truck was on its way to the customer site. And the good news is it takes just as long for a freight shipment as a FedEx or a UPS shipment. A few days later, I get a call from the customer, and she was not very happy. She explains to me, in so many words, that according to my recommendation, that this order should have been shipped freight, and so she graciously agreed on my recommendation. She did save a few dollars on the shipping cost, but here's where the problem lies. Unfortunately, when you're shipping by freight, the customer must have access to a dock where the truck can unload the skids. This customer did not have a dock, nor did they have a forklift or any means of unloading this truck. There was not even a facility nearby where they could do this. The truck was not equipped with a liftgate of any sort. In other words, 900 pounds worth of merchandise could not be unloaded at the customer site. Sure, the shipment got there, and sure, the customer saved a bunch of money, but what good is it if you can't take the merchandise and remove it off the truck easily? But here's my point, the analogy that I want to make with my story. What I told my customer was correct. Shipping via freight for large orders will save them money. And it did. But what I failed to tell my customer was that any customer that was receiving a freight shipment must have a dock to unload the material. I knew that. I just didn't tell her. So it's not that I told my customer a lie. I never presented false information of any sort. It's just that I didn't tell my customer the whole truth. There were missing pieces to my shipping arrangement that I made with her. And I failed to share those missing pieces with her. And my failure to do so led to a very unhappy customer. And a very sad ending to the story. The analogy I want to make with my story time here this morning is what I see happening in too many churches today. And it seems to be found in larger churches more than in smaller churches, although this issue can be found anywhere, in any size church. And here's the issue. The issue is this: the whole truth is not being taught. There are missing pieces to the gospel message, the only gospel message that can save. There is a movement that's going on in churches today which virtually wants to stamp out anything and everything related to the law part of the gospel message. And let me explain what I mean by that, and that will be our next fill in the blank. Next fill in the blank, we've got a whole bunch of four fill ins right there for number two. The complete gospel message is made up of law and grace. The law teaches us that we have a problem, and grace teaches us that there is a solution. We have a problem. It's called sin. There is a solution. His name is Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 kind of sums that up rather well. For the wages of sin is death. There's the problem part, the sin problem, the law part. But then the second part of this verse gives us the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And folks, the full gospel message must be preached. But this is what happens in churches, and I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. I go into a church, and I hear about the love of God. And I can't deny that as a pastor. That is scriptural. That is true. The Bible does teach us that God is a God of love. But then I go back the next Sunday, and I hear about the love of God. And then I go back the next Sunday and I hear about the love of God. And then I go back the Sunday after that and I hear about how God loves me just the way I am. So every Sunday I now go back to that church because the pastor makes me feel good about myself. The messages are very uplifting, and they are so positive. The pastor is building my self-esteem. And I feel really good when I leave the church. And boy, look at this church. Look at the numbers. It's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing. Well, you might be asking yourself right now, Mike, what's wrong with that? Our third and final fill in the blank. An incomplete gospel message, one with missing pieces, does not and cannot save anybody. It's really that simple. An incomplete gospel message cannot save anybody. And as I go back, and if I look at the steps of salvation, they happen in my life, and they happen in yours too if you are saved. The first step is understanding that sin has separated us from the love of God. Sin has separated us, and now we are children of wrath. Romans 5, 8. But false preachers do not and they will not preach on sin. The word sin is not in their vocabularies anymore. The word sin is a bad word, and you better not say it in church anymore. Whatever you do, don't preach judgment. But if I never hear about sin, or if I'm not made aware of what my sins might be, or if I'm never given an opportunity to repent, then the atonement and the forgiveness made by Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the grave makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. And if I am not made aware of my sin, which is the law part of the gospel, then it is impossible for me to confess and ask for forgiveness of those sins. And it's also impossible for me to repent, which means to turn away from those sins. I will even think that my sinful life is acceptable to God. After all, he loves me just the way I am. Because that's what the preacher taught me. He loves me, and he has no desire to see me change. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I use that a zillion times in here. So I ask, why should a person call on the name of the Lord? Do I want a savior? One who will forgive me of my sins because now I know of what and who I am? Or do I want a loving God who accepts me for everything I am and everything that I do? Do I want all my sins to be atoned for? Or do I want to be part of a social club church that makes me feel warm and fuzzy every Sunday because God loves me just the way I am? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that the Father raised him from the dead, I will be saved. So how can I understand and believe in the resurrection if I'm not really sure why Jesus had to die and had to rise from the grave? The big deception going on in churches today, both big and small, is this: that people in that church are not being told the whole truth. It's not that what they are being told is totally wrong. Oh yes, God is a God of love, and God is a God of grace. But he is also a God of justice, and he's also a God of wrath. And he's also a God who is perfect, and he's also a God who is absolutely holy. And he cannot look upon, he cannot be in the presence of, or he cannot condone sin in any way. So if the only thing I ever hear on a Sunday morning is how good and how loving God is, which I call touched by an angel theology. We've talked about Oprah Winfrey theology, which says all paths lead to God. Touched by an angel theology never says anything about God loves you. Isn't that what she says? Isn't that what Monica says? God God loves you. God loves you. Is there an orange light behind me yet? God loves you. Touched by an Angel might be a very heartwarming program. But if that's all you believe in, guess what? That's not the gospel, my friends. If you never hear about the consequences of our sins and our need to repent, then I hear an incomplete gospel message. And an incomplete gospel message does not have enough power to save anybody. The Apostle Paul tells us in our scripture reading this morning that if anyone preaches a gospel message other than the one that he preached, let them be eternally condemned. Again, very severe warning. Eternal consequences. And I promise you, the Apostle Paul never, ever, ever preached an incomplete gospel. He always preached the whole truth. He preached the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection. He preached that the wages of sin is death, but he also preached that there is a God of love, and he has provided that love through his Son, and his Son's name is Jesus Christ. Folks, a complete gospel message is paramount. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what you hear is what you know, and what you know is what you believe, and what you believe will be the only thing that you will ever take to the grave with you. My friends, the freight truck carrying the free gift of salvation is passing people's houses because many don't have a dock to unload the cargo because they were never told that they needed one. A gospel message with missing pieces will never save anyone. Let's get the gospel right. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Let's pray.